I could say my mama gave me permission. It went more like this. I also get a phone call at dinner one night, a week before Mother's Day, and when your mama calls, you answer the phone. And she goes, honey, as you know, I'm hosting Our Lady's Tea. And this is how my mom's church does every year, and it's a big deal. It's absolutely beautiful, actually. All the women gather, and the little girls, and we get to play tea party. And she goes, I was like, oh, yeah, Mom. She's like, I need your help. I said, well, of course, Mom. She says, well, you know, your one sister's singing. I said, huh? She goes, you're speaking. I said, like, as in, like, this weekend? She goes, uh-huh. I said, okay, Mom, I'm not going to say no because you told me, but what would you like that to be about? She goes, well, you and the Lord will figure that out. I said, Mom, do you have a theme? She goes, well, you're going to come up with that. I said, Mom, do you have a time limit? She goes, you'll let me know. Awesome, Mom. Okay, I'll be there. You got, so got off the phone and hit my knees, and what the Lord put on my heart, I knew it was his because it's not what I would have thought for a women's tea. But, side note, as many of you know, I am an elementary public school teacher. I'm a Montessori teacher in elementary schools. And with that, every day brings its own bit of surprises and lots of laughs. And in my many years of teaching, I've learned I can make a plan, and then I need to learn to roll with it because the day's not going to go as planned. However, at the beginning of this school year, I was handed my new class roster, my list of kids' names, and as I went down them, I quickly realized I had a big problem. This was a problem that was going to be solved with three young girls in my class. I knew I need to sit down with them, and we're going to need to tackle this together. Now, this was not a behavior problem. In fact, it was not even an educational problem. It was a name problem. All three girls' first name is Nora. Yes, that's 3 out of 18 kids. That is 1/6 of my classroom. I was like, this is not going to work. See, I can't just say Nora for a whole school year. One, they never know who I'm calling on, whose attention or whose turn it is, or whose mom's waiting at the office for them. So I thought, well, I'll be diplomatic. I'll set them down, and we can solve this name debacle, I don't know, together. So that's what I did. Again, roll with it. I did not expect for the three girls to be like, sweet, abandon their names and go, I want to be Pugs, I want to be Pickles, and one wanted to be Nora. To make it even funnier, the one that wanted to be called Nora, her given first name, unlike the other two, which is truly Nora, is Eleanor. I was like, sweetheart, you're going to have to work with me here. And I quickly explained to them, I didn't expect them to abandon their names at all. I was looking more for maybe first name, a middle name, first name, last initial, something along that line. However, I did tell Eleanor, it would really be helpful if we could just call you Eleanor. She went with it. See, identity is very important. And what we're called and how we're known, it matters. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We've gathered together, Father, to hear your word over every one of your children. So, Spirit, we pray, please speak to us. Breathe over us your identity and your purpose for your people. In your name, amen. Well, I know as a teacher, a mom, a wife, a sister, a daughter, all those identities, it can become lost in my running and doing from the day to day. Much like the Barbie, you can be anything slogan. It feels like that in a day. Depending on the scenario, who I'm with, where I'm at, that identity role sticker I have on me can change depending on what's needed at the moment. From the time my clock goes off in the morning and my feet hit the ground, I'm sure many of you feel the same way, a checklist begins in your head. And with the checklist comes the identity sticker that I'm going to put on my chest. Like 5 a.m., I'm one of those, okay, I'm going to get up,
I am motivated Rebecca. Here we go. Going to get in my workout, get in my quiet time, get all my things done. Because at 7, that comes off, mom goes on. And mom is on task. You need to remember this. You need to pack this. Please remember to pick up so-and-so and try to get them out the door at the right time. Because then by 8, mom comes off, teacher goes on. And then it's kind of like a mom checklist, but a little different. I can only go so far, but pray, teach them, love them, guide them. Oh, my Be Real app just went off. Pick that up, Be Real, because it's totally real life to take a picture for your app. Take a picture, put it aside, put teacher back on, and finish the teacher role. Come afternoon, that sticker's going to change so fast, depend on where you're at. I'm mom, I'm daughter, I'm sister. It just matters where I think I'm standing at the moment. Evening, I'm exhausted. Don't ask me another question. I'm not making another decision, right? How often do I believe that my identity, it's wrapped up in the checklist or in the role I'm currently playing? Believe the lie that the very value of me comes from the busyness, the checklist, the role, what I think I've established around me. In our busy lives, we can believe our identity can come more from what I do than from who I am. So what is identity? I'm so glad you asked that. It's like any teacher, we're going to roll all the way back, and we're going to start from the very beginning. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Now let's remember what just happened. God just spoke everything into existence. And then, one of his final acts, he gets down on his knees in the garden he created. He gets his hands in clay, and he forms and shapes man. Every intricate, beautiful part molded with his hands. And then he breathes from his mouth breath into Adam's lungs. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of it, you will surely die." From the very beginning, after God formed what he sees the last and best part of his creation, he then takes this man and he places him in the garden that he just lovingly made. God then identifies Adam. And not only does he give Adam identity, he speaks purpose at the exact same time. Look back with me in the verse. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You are free." Pause. Hand in hand with the purpose God speaks of, you're going to tend, you're going to care, you're going to watch over this creation, he speaks freedom over Adam. Only the one who gave you life has the authority to identify you. And God speaks his identity into Adam. With the identity of freedom comes God's authority. It's beautiful. And that's what we get to see. We see Adam and then soon Eve living in this identity, spoken, breathed over them. They begin to tend. They begin to name the animals. They're living completely and fully in the beautiful purpose that was created by their creator. Why? Because they knew they were free. But could there be more? It seems to always start with a whisper. Maybe there's more. Maybe I'm missing out. I mean, is it really freedom if it comes with a stipulation? When our purpose in us begins to look more like monotony, and the joy turns into busyness or task completion, The whisper of this world can start to sneak in a little bit. It then allows the identity and purpose in him seem a little dull, a little monotonous, a little gray. Then the certainty of the calling begins to be questioned. And other voices, oh, they're allowed to whisper away. Whispers and thoughts like, oh no, is this really my purpose? I mean, why do I keep getting this? Why don't I get promoted? Why does that person always get to be? I mean, everyone else is doing it. Why am I the only one that has to miss out on everything and be different? I mean, maybe I just heard my purpose wrong. The question is, when did these possible thoughts start to sneak into that beautiful creation, into that garden? I mean, come on. Maybe Adam and Eve were just really tired of the vegan cuisine. Maybe they couldn't come up with one more name for a fish or a bird, or they could not agree on what they were having for dinner. But for some reason, we see their guard is down. And that one fruit with stipulation that got tied in there at the beginning, it starts to look tempting. And maybe it starts to make a little more sense that's worth trying. Let's go into Genesis chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 3. The serpent, he was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit of any tree in the garden? Oh, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Once a year, I walk my first, second, and third grade students to a nearby park for a picnic. Every year, no fail, I give the exact same speech before we leave the classroom, and then once we get to the park. I explain to the kids the whole reason we're going to the park today is to celebrate them. They have worked hard. They have worked together. They have shown kindness. They have grown. I am so proud of them, so we're going to go celebrate them for the day. But in order to go to the park, I need them to follow a few rules. Number one, we're going to use our buddy system. Why? Because I don't want you to get lost from the rest of us and get astray and not make it to the park. Two, when we get to the park, I'm going to set up boundaries. Why do we need boundaries? So you can hear me when it's time to eat together, so you can hear the rules of the game, so you can see when it's time to leave. I tell my kiddos, we're going to have fun. And it is a day of tons of fun and freedom. But it's coming with safe boundaries. Why? Because I care a great deal about each one of them. Freedom is the identity he spoke from the very beginning. Freedom is the identity he speaks over every one of us. Freedom in him to live a life of fullness and intimacy in him. Freedom that allows us to be close enough to hear his voice, spend time in his presence, and see when it's time to move. Freedom with loving boundaries. Why? Because he cares a great deal about every one of us. But he knows we're children, that we're sheep. And like any loving parent or shepherd, he knows when we're tired, he knows when we're broken, he knows when we've strayed and we've lost our way. When we've begun to listen to the lies of the world and have stepped into the unknown, and lost our way, he, like any loving daddy would, he's going to go looking for his kids. Let's go to verse 8 and back at Genesis 3. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you are naked?" the Lord God asked. "Where are you?" God gently asked as he showed up for their nightly walk through his creation. "Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve?" When my God-spoken identity and purpose is blurred by the whispers of this world, I know what my instinct is. I go run and hide in busyness, in checklist, and more to do, or seeking human approval. But in the stillness of the voice, stillness of the evening, his voice comes. "Where are you, Rebecca?" The enemy wants to twist and turn our God-breathed identity. He wants us to believe that the identity spoken over us from the very beginning of his freedom and his authority are no longer worthy of the identity that I have in Christ. The enemy's out to rob identity. The enemy doesn't even want us to believe that we were created by our Creator. But see, he didn't create me. So therefore, he does not have the authority to identify me. He does not have the right. He doesn't have the ability to tell me my purpose. He has no creation over me. But neither did I create myself. I did not put together that intricate form of my DNA. So therefore, I have no right to define my purpose or my identity. Remember these two things. Only the one who created you has the right to identify you. And two, only God can identify the purpose that he has designed in you. He is your creator. What happens when we start to hide? Our purpose and our identity, it becomes unclear. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to question and hide from our creator, or just return to a shadow of the purpose that we were created for. A lot like one of Jesus' own disciples did. See, this disciple, he got to walk side by side with Jesus for 3 years. He got to look at him in the eye. And here, as Jesus spoke identity and purpose over him, and then, like a human, he lost his way. Let's go to the book of Matthew now. We're going to go to chapter 26, verse 69. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus, the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly. I know there's been several times in my own life that I have felt low, dirty, unloved, forgotten, or unforgivable for a sin that I seem to keep returning to. I can only imagine how Peter felt at this moment. What he could have believed about himself after he denied he even knew Christ 3 times. Peter wanted to believe he was the rock as Jesus had spoken over him. But how? How could he be anything more than just a boring old fisherman? So what did Peter do? He hid. He believed he was no longer worthy of that identity. Jesus had spoken. So Peter just returned to the old daily routine. But that allowed his mind to keep spinning the lie over and over again as he cast his nets into the sea. How about you? Are you believing a lie about yourself? Allowing your mind to continue to convince you that you're no longer worthy of the identity of freedom God spoke over you. I know after my father passed, I didn't realize right away, but I allowed a new identity to take root in my heart. I felt left and abandoned. I felt fatherless. And a new identity of orphan took root. I just couldn't understand it. I couldn't piece it out. Why would both my husband and I both lose our fathers, our children, their grandfathers? And my dad, such a steady, faithful man, not just in our family, but any community he was a part of. A man of strength and wisdom. How could that be replaced? But God in his grace, he doesn't leave his children. He continued to show up for our nightly walks and gently say, "Where are you? Where are you, Rebecca?" Where? Well, I felt broken. I felt like a lost little girl. I believed I was an orphan, but he didn't scold me for that. Instead, he asked me, "Who told you that?" That question, it was a breakthrough for my heart. It started the bandaging, and it allowed me to begin to see what he had been doing. He had put around not just me and my husband, but my family, godly men who spoke into, who loved, and valued. He knit us into family. Family, that like any proud grandparents, will post about my kids and cheer them on. I was never orphaned. Never. Why? I am a child of God, and I am part of an incredible family. So who told you that? Where did the lie begin, and why do we allow it to identify us? What about poor Peter? He's hurting, lost, and believing a lie. And he just sits in a stinky old fishing boat. Let's jump to the story in John chapter 21. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. The disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord!" When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. "Where are you, Peter?" Jesus asked, as he spoke to Peter from the shore. "I'm still here, Peter. I'm here for our nightly walk. See, I've set up a campfire for us to sit at and for us to talk. Where are you, Peter?" Though Peter had given up on his identity, Jesus did not give up on Peter. Even after 3 denials, he met Peter where he was at. And not just that, He blessed his fishing. Then he's going to start speaking back over Peter and reinstating the purpose that he sees, that he made and created in him. Let's go to verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question three times, and he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus knew the answer. He didn't need to hear it spoken out loud. Peter did. "Do you love me? Where are you, Peter?" is what he's asking. "Why are you hiding?" Jesus first helps Peter remember his identity of being loved, forgiven, and set free. Then Jesus begins to reinstate Peter's purpose. Looking Peter right in the eye, he says, "Then feed my sheep." "Who told you your purpose had changed, Peter? I renamed you. I spoke identity over you and purpose, remember? I didn't tell you you're a failure. I told you to go. Be a light, Peter. Feed my sheep." See, it's only in the ashes of the breakfast on that beach campfire that love can call you into your truer identity. It's listening to the true voice and shutting out that lie that's been spinning in your head, feeding us that we're not enough. See, the enemy knows that if we truly understood our true identity as God-breathed, chosen, loved, set free, spirit-filled children of God, well, there's no stopping the purpose in our lives to be his light to the world. That's who you are. You are who God says you are. You are his chosen people. You are his royal priesthood. You're his beloved. You are free, and you are dearly loved. So let me ask you, what about you? Where are you? Are you living in the identity of him in you? Have you claimed the freedom that he spoke from the very beginning over you? Is his voice the one that you hear speaking purpose over your life? Are you believing a totally different narrative? So let me ask you, what about you? Who told you that if you're not believing in the freedom that he said? Who told you that? What is the that in your life? What's keeping you inside the stinky fishing boat and not on the shore, sitting at the campfire with your Lord? Love wants to call you back into your true identity, into your God-spoken purpose. We're called to live in freedom. That's what he spoke from the very start. It's not just identity for Adam and Eve. It was for every single one of his children. You are free. True freedom, identity, purpose in him, through him. So there are some here today who want to step in and live in this freedom that he's given to every single one of his children. You're here today by purpose. Purpose of God to discover who you are meant to be in him. So let me say, take this moment. Step out of the boat. Go to the shore. Surrender. Surrender the grace that he has for you. When you call on his name, He hears you. He didn't leave. He's right there. Where are you? He hears you. He forgives you. You're set free. Jesus will make you brand new today. And it's all through the sacrifice he made for you. But maybe you're looking for more of that freedom. Maybe you knew, have known him and have walked with him, but the nightly walks have become a little less frequent. If you're looking for that, to have a relationship with the one who created you and you want to stop hiding, we would love to pray over you too. When I'm finished, there's going to be a prayer team over here, and I would love to meet with you too and help you find the freedom again in him, his purpose in you to be his light. So remember, the only one who created you has authority to identify you. He's the only one who knows your God-designed, intricate identity that was made by his hands from the beginning. You have purpose in his eternal plan. And your identity spoken over you from the very beginning is freedom. So go and live in that purpose. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you for always being there for each and every one of your children. So tune our ears to hear your gentle voice as you ask our soul, where are you? Help us reclaim the freedom that only you truly can give. Help us walk in your purpose to be light to this world. Thank you for always pursuing us like a loving daddy. In your name we pray. Amen.